Sirius FM, you're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis. This project is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBOO Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, we have an article with Street Roots investigative reporter Henry Brannan here to talk about his latest article, Tallying the Toll. A groundbreaking study is investigating the impacts of Oregon laws that criminalize consensual sex work, as sex workers and trafficking survivors push for decriminalization. Hi, Henry. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump right into it. Will you first just give me a little overview of this story?
Yeah, so basically it's about this effort called Project Impact. And what that is it's a first of its kind of large scale study that's looking at the impacts of criminalization of sex work, which, you know, Oregon laws consider like prostitution in Oregon, and looking at the impacts of that on consensual sex workers as well as survivors of trafficking. So it's done by this group, Influence Innovations. They're Oregon based. They mostly do like National Institutes of Health research. And then it's also really led by a lot of sex worker-led groups, like the Oregon Safer Workers Coalition, Haymarket Pole Collective, and a lot of people who themselves either have been or currently are sex workers, as well as some survivors of trafficking. I should say also it kind of comes, the context for this, without kind of saying too much that we'll get into, is that the police right now are really taking like a sting-heavy approach to dealing with sex work and trafficking. That sex workers themselves have told me they have really substantial problems with, and really pushes them into more dangerous situations. So that's kind of what the story's on, as well as a little bit of the context just in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, back in the early 2020s, sex worker-led organizations were fighting for decriminalization. And the state legislature told them, yeah, we're interested in that, but we would need a study to show that it would work here. And so they're like, yeah, please, like we want this study. Because basically they want research to catch up to what their kind of day-to-day experiences have already shown them. And basically what they tell me is that criminalization pushes them into more dangerous circumstances, especially for survivors of trafficking. And the kind of reasoning behind that is if you're somebody that's being trafficked and sex work, which, you know, state law obviously calls prostitution, is illegal, and you try and report your trafficker, you're literally your entire life is dependent on this police officer believing you that you are indeed being trafficked. And so it gives traffickers this huge, huge leverage. I talked to survivors of trafficking who were like, yeah, it puts you in horrible situations where your life depends on a police officer believing you, which is not something folks feel comfortable doing. And so everybody wants to reduce trafficking. And they feel that decriminalizing sex work is a key thing. So they're like, yes, let's do the study. They keep fighting for decriminalization in the study. And finally, in 2023, the Oregon legislature hops on board. They're like, yeah, we see the research. We hear you guys. We've talked to enough survivors of trafficking. We believe y'all. Like, let's do a study. And so they fund $600,000 for two studies. $100,000 of that goes to the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to kind of do a pro-con kind of survey or scan of decriminalization. And then the other $500,000 goes to this joint study by OHSU and PSU. This is going to be led by Professor Stephanie Wahab. And I talked to her and she's like, yep, we were all set to go. I had been contracted. You know, we had kind of the procurement documents for the study, which, you know, as folks can probably tell by this kind of lead up, did not end up happening. And basically at the 11th hour, Governor Kotek vetoed it. And she posted kind of a rationale saying, yeah, I think it should be privately funded. Now it's worth noting, Streets did a review and has not found any other examples of any legislation being vetoed. by any sitting Oregon governor that there's an archive for saying that that's the rationale for not funding something. And her office declined to comment on this story. So, but anyhow, around that time, another kind of tragedy ends up kind of providing a real blessing to the movement. And that's the passing of Carol Lee. She dies in late 2022, and she had been like a super groundworking sex worker. She actually created the term sex work. And she was a member of this activist group down in San Francisco that was really the first group fighting for decriminalization in the 1970s. And she was a member of that with this woman, Kate Marquez. And so she made Kate her executor of her will. And just before Carol had died, she'd inherited a lot of money from her mom. Carol had, grown up poor, but got this really at the end of her life and donates it all to different sex worker-led groups and organizations. And so Kate is in charge of kind of dispersing that. And after it's been given out, there's still a pretty good amount of money left over. And so Kate, who was herself a sex worker as well, is like, we should try and do something to keep people safe and do something for the community. And so that's really kind of the origins of Project Impact. She funds it with money actually from Carol Lee. They spend years kind of building it. That's how Project Impact actually came to be.
Wow, thanks for that background. So how was the study actually designed?
That's a good question. So, Influence Innovations, who's leading it, mostly does NIH research. And so I think kind of the idea behind this is they want it to be as methodologically serious as is humanly possible. Because, sex workers, as pretty much a rule, are not generally believed by the mainstream public, and certainly not legislators, who are often putting forward like really harmful legislation that really impacts them and makes it harder to survive. And so they spent really, literally 2.5 years designing the study. So working with an in-house methodologist, the whole team at Influence, as well as like reaching out to sex worker-led organizations and to survivors of trafficking. For instance, I talked to Kat Salas, who is both now is a pretty senior social worker in the Portland area, but is also a survivor of trafficking and somebody who used to do consensual sex work. And so folks like that, folks with Haymarket Poll Collective, Oregon Safer Worker Coalition, were really instrumental in designing the study. And that's to make it trauma-informed, but it's also to really show the variety of impacts that criminalization has on folks, whether that's access to housing, jobs, childcare, healthcare, banking, all of these different aspects of life. And then, of course, the most crucial part is making sure it's representative so that its findings can speak in a methodologically kind of bulletproof or airtight way to all of Oregon. Now, this has never been done, I should say. The PSU researcher, Dr. Stephanie Wahab, did a smaller scale study just as a volunteer after the larger scale one was killed by Governor Kotek. But again, it's much smaller. This is, a huge, huge effort. So that's kind of the design of the study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how is this information going to be like used?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of one piece of the broader push towards decriminalization. Now, obviously, a study itself is not advocacy. A study is just a kind of methodologically serious attempt to capture reality. It'll kind of pair with another study that was done, which is kind of a roadmap to decriminalization that the Oregon Safer Workers Coalition did. And that basically looks at, here are the specific laws that are problems that are making people's lives harder. And so with the two kind of studies hand in hand, once Project Impact is eventually done, a lot of advocates I talk to feel that it will give them both kind of it'll give them everything they need to kind of get the legislature back on board or to get the public back on board through a ballot measure, which folks had a lot of interest in. And so they basically provide like the why and the how for decriminalization of consensual sex work. And I should note also, like, nobody is talking about decriminalizing anything other than consensual adult sex work. Like, these are folks who are profoundly, profoundly against trafficking. That should go without saying. This is not, we're not talking about minors. We're not talking about trafficking situations. This is people, what they want to decriminalize is people choosing to do sex work, adults choosing to do sex work by their own volition. So yeah, that's a little bit about the what it kind of stands to do. And I should also say right now it's in the recruitment phase. So they've talked to about 50 people by partnering with different community organizations, but eventually they'll end up having talked to at least 400 people from representative samples all around the state.
Amazing. And what's the sort of like the timeline expected to be going forward?
Well, in part that actually depends on listeners. So right now where it stands is it's doing outreach, but it's really built by a lot of volunteer labor. You know, any other issue that you're looking at, like it's going to be that the legislature's approaching. It's going to be funded publicly. You know, there's going to be a public study. Yeah, this obviously is really built on like volunteer labor by sex workers and survivors of trafficking, and also donations from them. And so right now the study has actually run out of the original $150,000 that Carol Lee's trust had given it. And so Kate Marquez, the woman leading the study, admitted that she had actually taken out a line of credit against her house, which basically means using your own home as kind of the collateral on a loan to continue funding it. And so it's doing outreach right now, but also that, you know, their kind of capacity is somewhat limited by that. So they're also accepting donations, tax deductible donations through the Oregon Safer Workers Coalition. Yeah, I think that's where it stands right about now.
Thanks. And where can people go to like learn more about this and maybe support this project?
Yeah, for sure. So, first off, you can of course go to Streetroot's website. We'll have the full story up, and it links to everything. And of course, you can also read about it in the paper, the hard copy of Streetroot's, which you can find from any vendor. And vendors can be found by going to streetroots.org/vendors and scrolling down to the map.
Amazing. Thank you, Henry. Is there anything else about this article that you're really hoping to get out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this issue should be of extreme interest to anybody that doesn't like trafficking and who does like kind of people being able to determine their own destinies. You know, I think anybody who kind of believes in the philosophy that people are good at determining the course of their own life, and kind of opposes paternalism, I think this would be a really cool project to learn more about.
For X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.